In the 9th volume, there's a nice write-up about Ibn Asakir. In Ibn Asakir about Uwais Qarni. So, the amazing thing of this man was, as long as you didn't recognize who he was, you could bump into him daily. And the day you appreciated the richness of his profile was the last day you met him. This was his whole life. As soon as people got wind of how pious he was, you never met him again. And as long as you didn't give him a second glance, you could pass him every day. And as soon as a man came close and he said, I request your du'as, said, Inshallah, I'll make du'a. And after that, you never found him. If I know somebody is coming closer to me, yeah, I start ishraq for the first day in my life. Never read it in my whole life. And suddenly it's getting longer and longer. So whenever the sun would set in the evening, he used to give whatever surplus food he had, he used to give it in charity. So there's nothing in his house. And whatever additional dress or cloth or garment or clothing he had, he would give it in charity, so that he only owned what was on his body. And then he used to go to sleep with these du'as. Allahumma man mata ju'an fala tu'akhidhni bihi. Allahumma man mata uryanan fala tu'akhidhni bihi. Allah, I know around the world there are a lot of people that are dying out of hunger. I gave the last slice of bread in your path. Whoever dies in your creation out of lack of food, Allah, please don't hold me liable. I've got nothing else. And Allah, whoever is dying out of lack of shelter or lack of clothing, Allah, don't hold me liable. I'm barely covering my body. My brother, how do I sleep and how do you sleep? And I sleep a peaceful sleep. And I sleep an arrogant sleep. And I get up beyond Fajr. And I'm proud about this. How will I face my Allah? Badr, you know, the narration when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was dispatching the army of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. And he said, Ya Sa'd, la yaghurrannaka an qila khalu rasulillah. Sa'd, you the Amir of the Jamaat, don't be deceived by the fact, don't be beguiled by the fact, don't be misled by the fact that people are chanting these slogans. You know what? You are the uncle of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, in the eyes of Allah, it's actions, it's virtue, it's merit, it's not to do with family ties. And then the blessed army advanced. But you must see the write-up. You know, they talk of the makeup, the dynamics, the demographics. What were the demographics of this blessed campaign? وَمَضَى الْجَيْشُ الْمُبَارَكُ. The blessed army advances. وَفِيهِمْ تِسْعَةُ وَتِسْعُونَ بَدْرِيَّا. This army comprised of 99 Badriyin. When you say rich with rijal, rich with men, 99 Badriyin. ثَلَاثُ مِئَةٍ مِمَّنْ شَهِدُوا بَيْعَةَ الرِّضْوَانِ. 300 odd were amongst those who pledged their pledge under the tree. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ 300 مِمَّنْ شَهِدُوا فَتْحَ مَكَّةِ. 300 were from those who witnessed the conquest of Makkah. وَسَبْعَةُ مِئَةٍ مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الصَّحَابَةِ. And 700 sons of Sahaba. Wallah, when I read this, I said, my word, what an army. What a makeup. 99 Badriyin. And the youth of today want to flock for not famous people, but wallah, infamous people. Not famous, infamous. When Sa'd radiallahu anhu was about to pass away, da'a bi jubbatin min sufin baliya. He said, I have one woolen robe there in my house. It's torn and tattered and it's patched. Bring that and come. قَاتَلْتُ بِهَا الْمُشْرِكِينَ يَوْمَ بَدْرٍ وَإِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَلْقَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِهَا. I wore this in Badr. I want to meet my Allah with my Badr dress. I wore this in Badr. Khalid, respect a Badri. Khalid radiyallahu anhu, respect a Badri. فَإِنَّكَ لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مِثْلَ أُحُدٍ ذَهَبًا لَمْ تُدْرِكْ عَمَلَهُ. There is a narration, Sa'd radiallahu anhu was walking. One person was reviling Sahaba, Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Talha radiallahu anhu, and some other Sahaba. So he told the man nicely, brother, listen, you can argue with me, you can argue with him, but don't ever use words like that on Sahaba. And this is something we need to understand. I say to the youth often that, you know, you're in an argument with your friend, it's a tit for tat. With your sibling, it's a tit for tat. But with your parents, it's not a tit for tat. Any harsh word, any raising of your voice is only coming back on you. You dig in your hole. Now decide how deep you want to dig. There's no exception in history to this. Show me one man who spoke against a Sahabi, and I say a word of caution here. They say three arguments you never tarnish yourself with. You never embroil yourself in. One is the arguments of your parents. Regardless of who you are, you have to tread cautiously, circumspect, calculated, measured, sensitive, because both sides are your parents. And you've got to analyze it in your obligation towards the whole thing. So that's the first thing. The second thing you don't want to get involved in is the argument of the ulama. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he's mentioned this so beautifully, and today this has been exploited, and these are the type of propaganda that is happening, and this rift has been created, and divisions are just being, you know, gulfs are being created. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has taught us an amazing lesson in his kitab Bidayatul Hidayah. I'll just share with you a few extracts of it, where he teaches us to respect everyone. He says, when you see a child, then you shouldn't think, I am superior and this is an ordinary child, what does he know? You should say to yourself, هَذَا لَمْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَأَنَا عَصَيْتُهُ فَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنِّي. This is a poor child, man. He is innocent. He's got no demerits to his account. He's got no wrong. Undoubtedly, he's better than me. Undoubtedly, the man's got no sin to his account. So don't brush him off. Look at him, how clean his nature is, how pure his temperament is, and how sinless his slate is. And against that, measure him and not anything else. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ كَبِيرًا. And when you look at an elderly man, then tell yourself, عَبَدَ اللَّهَ قَبْلِي فَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنِّي. This man has been fasting before I'm born also. How can I ever imagine to compare with him in the court of Allah? He's got so many years of piety to his account. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ جَاهِلًا. And when you see an ignorant man, you must say to yourself, هَذَا عَسَى اللَّهَ بِجَهْلٍ وَأَنَا عَسَيْتُ اللَّهَ بِعِلْمٍ فَحُجَّةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيَّ أَكْبَرٍ. This man did wrong because he doesn't know better. I'm doing wrong despite knowing the correct thing. The consequences will be much more grave for me. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ عَالِمًا. And when you see a learned man, you must say, هَذَا عَلِمَ مَا لَمْ أَعْلَمْ وَبَلَغَ مَا لَمْ أَبْلُغْ فَكَيْفَ أَكُونُ مِثْلَهُ. Allah has given him the Quran. Allah has given him the Sunnah. Allah has not given it to me. Allah has favored him, and I have not been blessed with this. How can I even imagine saying I'm equal to him? But unfortunately, the perception, the attitude, the persona, the behavior, the demeanor, the disposition we give off is that I am superior to all, and I know it all. So Sayyidina Sa'd radiallahu anhu said, إِنَّكَ تَشْتِمُ أَقْوَامًا قَدْ سَبَقَ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا قَدْ سَبَقَ. Listen brother, you are making these comments. These are great personalities. Don't open your mouth and don't make remarks like this. Watch how you're talking. وَاللَّهِ لَتَكُفَّنَّ عَنْ شَتْمِهِمْ أَوْ لَأَدْعُوَنَّ بِثَلَاثٍ أَوْ لَأَدْعُوَنَّ عَلَيْكَ. Listen brother, either you desist and you refrain and you abstain, or else I'll curse you. First he told him politely. But unfortunately, you see what happens to the youth when you tell him that. Listen, you're going to hurt your parents. You'll take their curse. Stop offending them. He said, well, my father knows I'm not going to do it. then you must stop telling me to do those things. They want you to change. So he turns around and he says, يُخَوِّفُنِي كَأَنَّهُ نَبِيٌّ. Oh, he's got a chip on his shoulder. He's threatening me like he's a prophet. Who cares? My brother, you're provoking a sahabi. Oh boy, oh boy. I don't want to be there when that sahabi is going to utter those words. The throne of Allah and them, the whole thing is going to come into motion. Allahumma in kana yashtimu aqwaman qad sabaqa laka qad sabaqa lahum minka ma qad sabaq faj'alhu al-yawma nakala. فَجْعَلْهُ الْيَوْمَ نَكَالًا. Allah, I told him not to interfere with Sahaba, but he does not want to desist. Allah, make him an eye-opener and deal with him in a manner that people heed it till Qiyamah. Sa'd said that and he went away. فَجَاءَتْ نَاقَةً. Suddenly came a camel. فَأَفْرَجَ النَّاسُ لَهَا. He used the word nakal. Nakal, if you do the Arabic word of nakal, nakal means an exemplary torment. فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى فَجَعَلْنَاهَا نَكَالًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهَا. Nakal, not that you are just punished in a manner that everybody's eyes open up. A camel came from nowhere, from the rear, people gave way. Came and struck this man on his back hard. He collapsed and he instantly died. فَرَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ يَتَّبِعُونَ سَعْدًا يَقُولُونَ يَا أَبَا إِسْحَاقَ قَدْ إِسْتَجَابَ اللَّهُ دُعَاءَكَ. People said, go call Sa'd, tell him we didn't even hear his curse ending and Allah executed it. And look at a sahabi. Look at a sahabi. If I curse someone and it happens, I will want to get mileage out of that. I want to. Now you must decide. People say there's no more pious people left in the world. You make the call. You make the call. When he heard this, halafa Allah yad'u ala ahad. Allah forgive me. I said it, but I didn't mean his life to go, Allah. A curse of a sahabi, that's not going to be rejected. Wa'a'taqa nasmatan. وَأَعْتَقَ نَسْمَةً. He liberated slave. Allah, I didn't mean to take this man's life, but he wouldn't learn otherwise, Allah. And oops, and here it went and it's gone. And that reminds me of the narration of Muslim Sharif. Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu anhu says, شَكَى أَهْلُ الْكُوفَةِ سَعْدًا. The people of Kufa complained about Sa'd radiallahu anhu one day. Now if you're familiar with history, you would know Kufa was notorious. No governor would stay there. So Sayyidina Umar, with his stringent eye, he appointed a man like Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, who was just not a Sahabi, but he was amongst the Ashra Mubashra. But these people, because of their nature, they were not even satisfied with a man like the appointment and the nomination of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. فَعَزَلَهُ. Look at Umar radiallahu anhu. Just look at the balance in the life of Umar radiallahu anhu. When they complained about Sa'd radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu dismissed Sa'd radiallahu anhu to put an end to the bickering, but he didn't entertain the negativity against Sa'd radiallahu anhu. What a balance. So there's bickering and there's different ranks. So Sayyidina Umar told Sa'd, let me just dismiss you so that we don't have ill feelings in the community, but I'm not buying into their theories. But to put an end and put the issues to bed, we will post you elsewhere. Sa'd radiallahu anhu were never taking or seeking position for any personal gains, so there was no agenda against anyone. So anyway, he was then dismissed from his post. وَذَكَرُوا أَنَّهُ لَا يُحْسِنُ يُصَلِّ. And amongst the allegations were, they said that no, Sa'd radiallahu anhu doesn't perform salah properly. So I always say to the a'imma, this is consolation for the ulama, leave alone somebody finding objection on you. Those who objected, objected on the disciple and the student and the jannati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also. Allah forgive us to be amongst those who are only out to speak of the ills of others. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe be to those who are ever speaking ill of people in their absence and their presence. Woe be to them. The only thing, his tongue, his discussion is only ill of others. There's no other meaning to his discussion. This one is like this, that one is like this, this family is like this, this organization, this ulama, this one, that one. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salam has given us an amazing formula by virtue of which we can share in the good of others. What did the Nabi of Allah say? He said, "Ma da'awtuhum, ma da'awtum Allah lahum wa athnaytum alayhim bi khair." Make dua for everyone and praise their good activities, and they'll do the work and Allah will reward you as well. Now what a prophetic formula by virtue of which we can have a chunk in the reward of everyone. If all I can do is in my dua include all the avenues of good that are happening, Allah bless one, Allah guide one, Allah put khair in this madrasa, Allah let the istima be a success, Allah let the pious visit in our country have prosperity in their majalis, Allah let the students acquire in the sciences of the, wherever, whatever, Allah let all avenues of good prosper, Allah will give you a share in it. But sitting here, we deny ourselves all the reward. So anyway, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, he said, people are objecting and they're saying you are not performing salah correctly. He said, Usalli bihim salat Rasulillah, fa arkudu fil ulayayn wa ukhiffu fil ukhrayayn. I am performing salah like how my Nabi led us and performed for us. If they are objecting on that, they're objecting on what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left behind. He said, Dhaka dhannu bika ya Aba Ishaq. That's exactly what I expected, and I knew precisely that is how you would say that, and that's what was anticipated. Anyway, then Sayyidina Umar sent few people, وَأَرْسَلَ مَعَهُ رِجَالًا. He sent few people, and he said, let's just get a field out on the ground. What's the take on Saad radiallahu anhu? So every masjid, every locality, they said, يُثْنُونَ مَعْرُوفًا. Good man, great man, wonderful man, amazing person. حَتَّى دَخَلُوا مَسْجِدًا لِبَنِي عَبْسٍ. Until they entered a particular locality of Banu Abs. فَقَامَ رَجُلٌ, the narration of Muslim Sharif. يُقَالُ لَهُ أُسَامَةُ بْنُ قَتَادَةَ. A person by the name of Usama ibn Qatada stood up. يُكَنَّ أَبَا سَعْدَ. His pet name, his kunya was Aba Sa'da. He said, أَمَا إِذَا نَشَتَّنَا. Now that you want us to be honest about Sa'd radiallahu anhu, فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يَسِيرُ بِالسَّرِيَّةِ وَلَا يَقْسِمُ بِالسَّوِيَّةِ وَلَا يَعْدِلُ فِي الْقَضِيَّةِ. I have three issues with the man. Understand, you are talking of a companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Watch your words, watch your steps, understand the implications, appreciate the consequences. He said, number one, my issue with him, he doesn't participate in the expeditions. Number two, he lacks justice in his distribution. And there is no honesty or accuracy in the verdicts that he pronounces. Now that is an indictment and a reflection and an accusation on a sahabi. Saad radiallahu anhu very modestly and humbly stood up. Allahumma in kana abduka hadha qama riya'an wa sum'atan fa atil umrahu wa atil faqrahu wa arridhu lil fitan. Allah, he stood up and blatantly he's accusing me. Please prolong his life and intensify every misery on him, Allah. Sahaba said, we couldn't even hear the statement fully. You know, he just stood up very modestly. Allah prolong his life so his sufferings don't end. And he sat down. The narration goes on from that day onwards. That man only suffered. Asabatni da'watu sa'din. Shaykhun maftoon. People used to ask him, uncle, how you are? Oh, Abu Qatada. He used to say, Shaykhun maftoon. A man gripped by every illness, plagued by every misery. Saad has moved on, but his curse hasn't left me. Saad has moved on, but his curse has never left me. Who wants to dare take the curse of a sahabi? The narration goes on, Abdul Malik ibn Umair. Abdul Malik ibn Umair, Ar-Rawi an Jabir ibn Samura. Who is the Rawi from Jabir ibn Samura? He says, وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ. I seen this old man. سَقَطَ حَاجِبَاهُ عَلَىٰ عَيْنَيْهِمْ مِنَ الْكِبَرِ. His eyebrows were drooping because of age and he was gone senile and frail. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَتَعَرَّضْ لِلْجَوَارِ. At that old age, he used to still play and flirt the young girls. And he used to say, I'm the curse of Saad radiallahu anhu. How do I undo the curse? The man is gone. The narration continues. There is another narration in Bukhari and Muslim. Arwa bint Aus. She goes and lodges a complaint in the court of Marwan ibn Hakam against the great Sahabi Sa'id ibn Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail radiyallahu anhu. Sa'id ibn Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail radiyallahu anhu. And she says, idda'at, she claims, akhada shay'an min ardiha, he has usurped a portion of my land. Marwan summons the Sahabi radiyallahu anhu and he says, this woman alleges that you have usurped a portion of her land. So the Sahabi Sa'id ibn Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail radiyallahu anhu said, ana akhudhu shay'an min ardiha ba'dama sami'tu min rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Like, as a Sahabi, after I have heard the stern warnings of usurping the land of someone, how will I dare ever take the land of anyone? So Marwan said, what hadith and what stern warnings have you ever heard? He said, I heard the Nabi of Allah directly with my ears saying, man akhadha shibran min al-ard tuwiqahu ila sab'i ardeen. Any person who usurps one cubit's length of land of another person, Allah will make the seven earths a necklace around his neck on the day of Qiyamah. And it would be colossal, it would be mammoth, he won't be able to bear it. Marwan said, La as'aluka bayyinatan ba'da hadha. The narration of Bukhari Muslim, that's it. Close, chapter close. Close shop. I don't need any other evidence now. It's enough. I resolve and this is over. He stood up. Allahumma in kanat kathibatan fa'a'mi basaraha waqtulha fi ardiha. Allah, she stood up and she accused me, Allah. I carry the sciences of your Nabi, Allah. Allah, deny her sight and let her die on that same land that she accuses me. Allah, let her die on that same land. Exactly Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, she was sighted, she had vision, she had everything of the best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala systematically deprived her. She started losing her faculties, she started losing her abilities, she started losing her resources, to the point there was no guide to take her. And on the precise place where she sat and accused that sahabi, she fell in a ditch and died. Fakanat qabraha. The narration of Muslim Sharif, that very land became her grave. Where are you going to run? How far are you going to run? And who are you going to throw? So brothers, the point that I'm saying here is, وَكُلَّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. An easy way out, the Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. You couldn't be from the Muhajirin, you couldn't be from the Ansar, be from amongst those who love them and make dua for them. Be from amongst those who love them and make dua for them. What did the Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say in one narration? It's a sahabi's call. Kun aliman, become a scholar. Oh muta'alliman, or become a student. Oh mustami'an, or listen to both of them. Or then love them all, but don't do anything else. Either you becoming a scholar, or you becoming a student, or you listening, or you loving. But there's no room for anything else. There's one thing we need to know very clearly, that there is difference of rank amongst the Sahaba. And this is vital and integral, and it's of paramount importance. So the group of Sahaba are the noblest after the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. And just like our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the noblest of the Anbiya, his blessed companions are the noblest of the companions of the respective Anbiya. So in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exhorted us and Allah said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kunu ansar Allah. O you who believe, become the helpers of Allah. In Tafsir Uthmani, it is written, Sahaba responded to this injunction so diligently that they didn't only become the helpers, their name became helpers. Their name became Ansar. They helped so much. They say, you know, he eats so many burgers, he looks like a burger. People say that, man. That guy, you look at him, if you look properly, he looks like a bawan. Sahaba helped so much, their name became helpers. كونوا أنصار الله كما قال عيسى بن مريم للحواريين من أنصاري إلى الله. So the Sahaba, there's difference of rank amongst them. Those who responded in the early hours, which the Quran used the benchmark of the conquest of Makkah. This was the benchmark. Those who accepted before the conquest of Makkah and those who accepted after the conquest of Makkah, they cannot be the same. They both will be in Jannah and Paradise, but there will be a distinction between the two. By way of example, the virtue, the merit, the accolade, the commitment of the Sahaba in the initial hours were far greater. Perhaps you would not know, my brother, and it's sad if we don't know, because we need to update ourselves with these basic facts of Quran and Sunnah. In the beginning, the second surah to be revealed after Surah Iqra, the first five verses of Iqra were revealed. Thereafter, there was fatrat in wahi, there was 3 years of pause in revelation. And then the second surah to be revealed in the Quran, by the view of the majority of the Mufassirin, was Surah Muddathir. Surah Muddathir. And in that surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exhorted the Nabi of Allah and the handful of believers to devote and dedicate as a mandatory and obligatory practice a third or half or two-thirds of the night in nocturnal prayer. And the Sahaba and the Nabi of Allah, for 1 year, in the passion to secure, they opted for the two-thirds option and not the one-third or the half. Very rare they would stand up for a third or a half. For 1 year, they would devote close unto the entire night in Salah. And in the footnotes of Tafsir Uthmani, it's written, Allah took this additional exercise, an additional grooming and molding from these initial Sahaba, because they had to set the foundation for the Ummah till Qiyamah. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ تَقُومُ أَدْنَى مِنْ ثُلُثَيِ اللَّيْلِ وَنِصْفَ وَثُلُثَهُ وَطَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ مَعَكَ. Verily Allah is aware, and Allah compliments you and your Sahaba that you stood up occasionally for a third, occasionally for half, and most of the time for two-thirds of the night. وَاللَّهُ يُقَدِّرُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. And only Allah can precisely estimate and calculate. Remember, they didn't have the luxury of all other times of calculating the night. So they would, in precaution, spend additional time. Thereafter, Allah revealed the concession and Allah abrogated the ruling. And in the abrogation process, Allah used it twice. فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Allah said, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ. Read whatever now. Whether 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Then on the next page, Allah says again, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ. Whatever is permissible. In Madarikul Tanzeel, it's written, Allah repeated the concession because Sahaba were so diligent, they wouldn't rush into concession until you didn't convince them properly. Today I just need one opinion, and I need to half hear that opinion when I am three quarter asleep, and I'm happy to latch on to it. I need to half hear, just little bit. I heard someone, I don't know, we were sleeping in Mina 10 day and someone was saying something, but I know it sounded like an alim's voice. That's it, done. Alama Nasafi has raised the question. Allah said, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ عَلِمَ أَن سَيَكُونُ مِنْكُمْ مَرْضَى وَآخَرُونَ يَضْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَبْتَغُونَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَآخَرُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ. Why has Allah made takrar of فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ? In five lines Allah says it twice. He said, كَرَّرَ. Allah repeated it because Sahaba wanted to be passionate on the best. Allah said, I am saying it, and I'm saying it again now. I have abrogated it. You don't have to devote the entire night. So surely those Sahaba who devoted, inshallah, I will draw my talk to a close. Those Sahaba who devoted and dedicated that entire time of theirs in the early hours, in rank they are greater. And hence I briefly run you through the Khulafa'i Rashideen. And I don't have time to go into all the details. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, without doubt, is the number one of this ummah. تمشي أمام رجل لم تطلع الشمس على أحد بعد النبيين أفضل من أبي بكر. When Abu Darda radiallahu anhu inadvertently, unintentionally inched forward in ahead of Abu Bakr, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Darda, watch your steps. You've just overstepped the greatest human on whom the sun has ever risen. You've just overstepped the greatest human after the galaxy of Anbiya alayhi salam. The narration of Bukhari Sharif, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, I was sitting with the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came, akhidham bi tarfi thawbihi, holding onto the garment of his dress, his clothing. Nabi sallam looked at him and he said, amma sahibukum faqad ghamar. I think my Abu Bakr had an argument somewhere and he is coming. Just then Abu Bakr came and he sat down. Ya Rasulullah kana bayni wa bayn ibn al-Khattab shay. The Nabi of Allah, narration of Bukhari Sharif, myself and Umar radiallahu anhu had an argument. Fa asra'tu, in the argument I said a few things. Fa nadim, I regretted it. I asked Umar, please forgive me. Fa aba, he said, no, I'm not forgiving you. So I said, okay, that's fine, and I walked away. Immediately thereafter, Umar radiallahu anhu had a guilt. Umar radiallahu anhu had a guilt. I mentioned the other day in a talk of mine, and I'll repeat this here. They say in English, it is temper what lands the majority of us into problems. Temper is what lands majority of us into problems, and it is pride what keeps us there. It's temper what lands us into problem. In a fit of rage, in a fit of anger, I blurted it. Okay, there is a way to now backtrack. There is a way to come out of the crisis. Be humble, be simple, my brother. You'll lose nothing. Eat humble pie, think of akhirat. But no, no, how can I apologize? How am I going to face the man? This was the beauty of Sahaba. Sayyidina Umar declined. He said, no, I'm not going to forgive you. Subsequently, he had a guilt. He had a guilt. And he came immediately to the house of Abu Bakr. He was ready. This was the beauty of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar ibn Khattab, the narration is in Hayatul Sahaba. Sahaba was sitting, Jarir ibn Abdullah Bajali radiallahu anhu was there. Somebody passes wind in the gathering. Sayyidina Umar was rather provoked and angered by this. And he said, I insist the brother who did this, will he stand up and walk out of the gathering? I mean, this is not social etiquette. This is not how you behave in a social gathering. I insist the brother must stand up and walk out. Jarir ibn Abdullah Bajali said, Umar, can I have a quick word with you? He said, no problem. When I'm in my rage, and I'm in my anger, and I'm in my drive, nobody dare talks to me. Nobody talks to me. If you're my best son also, you don't approach me. If you are my closest employee also, you don't get close to me. If you are my favorite disciple also, you don't talk to me. But Umar could be stopped in his tracks at the heat of his anger. And Jarir ibn Abdullah could have a cool, balanced, calculated message with him. Umar, just a thought here, a reflection. How about Umar, instead of asking that brother to make wuzu, if you just rephrase it and we ask everybody to make wuzu? If it was me, oh, what you trying to tell me? I got wuzu, my friend. Ni'ma sayyidu kunta fil jahiliyyah wa ni'ma sayyidu anta fil islam. Jarir, where is this talent of yours resting? The ummah needs you, man. You've been an amazing man in the days of ignorance, and by Allah, you're just so awesome today. Al-qawlu ma qala Jarir. Apologies, brother, whoever you are, don't stand up, we all will stand up. Then this ummah was going to its glory. When these were the people driving us, you could tap anyone, you could talk to anyone. There was no personal agenda. Imam Shafi said, tell me of any mistake of mine, but talk to me properly and I'll listen and reform everything. But if you don't tell me, I'm not even listening, never mind reforming. If you don't talk to me properly, taghammadni binushika fin firadi, taghammadni binushika fin firadi, wajannibni nasihata fil jama'ati, fa inna an-nusha bayna an-nasi naw'un min at-tawbikh. So Sayyidina Umar came to the house of Abu Bakr. He said, "Athamma Abu Bakrin?" Knock on the door. "Is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu here?" "No, he's not here." So he realized, if Abu Bakr is not at home, he's what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's no other place where Abu Bakr is. I don't have to find out where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is. So he comes straight to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. As he's coming, فَجَعَلَ وَجْهُ النَّبِيِّ يَتَمَعَّرُ. The blessed face of Nabi alayhi salam is turning colors. And this is what made Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr. This is what made Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr radiyallahu. He kneeled before the Nabi of Allah. He said, "My Nabi, it's too painful for me to see you exhibiting this painful facial expressions. I am wrong, Umar is right. My Nabi, I am wrong, Umar is right. Umar hasn't said anything. Nothing has been argued. My ana adlam ya Rasulallah. O Nabi of Allah, I am wrong, my mistake." The Nabi of Allah said, "Hal antum tariku li sahibi." The hadith of Bukhari. People, one request, will you people all stop interfering with my Abu Bakr? Will you people all stop interfering with my... These are not my... I'm not adding on. These are the words of the hadith. Leave my Abu Bakr alone. I came as a messenger by Allah, and I told the world I am a Nabi. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. So all of you had reservation and apprehension, and you had reflection and introspection. But Abu Bakr instantly said, "I am speaking the truth." وَوَاسَانِي بِمَالِهِ وَنَفْسِهِ. And his health, wealth and resources he put on the table for my disposal. Please leave my Abu Bakr because of his commitment to my cause. I have offset the favor of every individual in the cause of Islam. The favors of Abu Bakr have just been too much for me to offset. I've asked Allah to take over. The favors are just too many. I've asked Allah, Allah, I have paid him, I have given him dua, I have compensated him, I have acknowledged him, I've rewarded him, Abu Bakr, it's just too much, Allah, will you take care of him? Allah fasuddu anni kulla khawkha. Allah fasuddu anni kulla khawkha. Illa khawkha tabna abi quhafa. All these windows from my masjid to the different homes, will you shut those windows? And leave the window of Abu Bakr as he wants it. Abu Bakr has access from his house. No other window stays open from their house. Ala fasuddu anni kulla khawkha illa khawkha tabna abi quhafa. So here is the Nabi of Allah sitting. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is with the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abbas radiallahu anhu comes. Abbas radiallahu anhu is the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba had so much love that before Abbas radiallahu anhu became a Muslim, Sayyidina Umar told Nabi told Sayyidina Abbas, "Oh Abbas, the Nabi of Allah wants you to become a Muslim. And I want my father to become a Muslim. But if you become a Muslim, I will be more happy on your reversion to Islam than my father's reversion. Because I know your reversion will bring greater joy and happiness to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I want my excitement and jubilation to be synchronized with the joy of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I don't want to be rejoicing more over something on which he's rejoicing less." Now, can you think? Your brain seizes, man. Your brain seizes. That's human. That's my dad. I have to feel more. I'll be more happy if you become a Muslim, because I know that will make my Nabi more happy. How about that son who gives his brother more because he knows that will make my mother more happy? Hilyatul Awliya. Muhammad ibn Haytham, my mind is going from where to where. Muhammad ibn Haytham says, "I used to go visit the house of Bishr Hafi as a little child. So one day I went to the house of Bishr Hafi. Bishr Hafi was in the time of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. He was an amazing man. Under al-ulama ul-uzzab al-ladhina atharu al-ilma al-ziwaj. Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda has written about him. He was a great ma akhrajat Baghdad wa atamma aqlan minhu. Baghdad never seen a man with greater intelligence. Ka'anna fi kulli sha'ratin minhu aqla. It was as if every strand of his hair was an independent brain. Law qusima aqluhu ala ahli Baghdad lasaru uqala wa ma naqasa min aqlihi shay'. If you had to divide his intelligence on all the people of Baghdad, everybody would become brainy and that wouldn't decrease his intelligence. Ma urifa lahu ghibatun li ayyi muslim. In his whole life they can't document one word of ghibat. So he said, I used to go visit Muhammad ibn Haytham rahmatullah alayhi. One day, Muhammad ibn Haytham said, I used to go to the house of Bishr Hafi. One day when I went there, his sister gave me some wool that she had spun. And she said, please go sell this and buy me some fish. So I took the wool and she used to sell this and make this as an income. I sold it and I bought nice ready fish and I came and I gave it. Anyway, she prepared the meal and then she invited me and she invited her brother Bishr Hafi as well. When Bishr Hafi came home, he had not wedded and he adopted celibacy in his passion for knowledge. He opted, and that's the whole kitab, Al-Ulama Ul-Uzzab, scholars throughout history who did not get married in the passion for knowledge. I say to the students, we cannot abstain for haram in the passion of knowledge. They abstain from halal in the passion of knowledge. They opted for celibacy so that they focus in their acquisition. So her brother was delighted to see the meal. And mashallah, he had a liking for fish and really he enjoyed it. So he asked his sister, what's the occasion? She said, Ra'aytu ummi wa ummaka fil manam. I seen my mom and your mom in a dream. And my mother said to me, oh my daughter, your brother Bishr hasn't had fish for a long time. Oh, today we want to give our wealth to women and to other friends, and we've left our mothers languishing way and where. Inna akhaki Bishr yashtahi lahma, yashtahi samaka. Your brother Bishr hasn't had fish. Sell your wool, buy fish, and you'll make my ruh happy. I seen our mother in a dream, so I prepared this meal and that's why I'm giving you this fish here. When Bishr Hafi heard this, he started crying. He said, Rahimallahu ummi taghtammu li hayyan wa mayyita. Allah reward my mother. She prepared for me when she was alive and she arranged for me from her qabr. She prepared for me when she was alive and she arranged for me from her qabr. Anyway, here's the Nabi of Allah. I said Sayyidina Umar's love for Abbas. His love for Abbas radiallahu anhu. The love for the Nabi of Allah. So the Nabi of Allah is sitting. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is there. Just then Abbas radiallahu anhu comes in. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was right on top. And this is what made him on top. When he seen Abbas, he realized Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's uncle. He appreciated this relation. He immediately moved to the rear and he ushered Abbas radiallahu anhu forward. He ended his need and he respected the presence of Abbas. This is one of those statements in the books of hadith.